Sporty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is international athletics. The IAAF World Indoor Championships began Friday in Sopot, Poland. Look for neighbors Kenya and Ethiopia to once again lead the African campaign. At the last World Indoor Championships, held in 2012 in Istanbul, Turkey, Ethiopia was third overall with 5 medals, while Kenya was fourth overall with 4 medals. The United States topped the table with 18 medals in Istanbul, while Britain was next with 9 medals. The Kenyans have sent 8 athletes to Poland, while the Ethiopians will be represented by 11 athletes. This 3-day indoor competition is being held at the Ergo Arena in Poland. And if you check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/VOASunny, you can see the sporty blue track in Sopot in one of the photos on my page. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny. Our Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma joins us now with a look at the African medal chances in Poland. Mark says a world record holder from Ethiopia is poised to be perhaps the big star at the World Indoor Championships.
On form, Ethiopian distant runner Genzebe Dibaba looks set to steal the limelight at the IAAF World Indoor Championship, which gets underway in Sopot, Poland today, Friday. The triple world record holder comes up against Kenyan defending champion Helen Onsando Obiri in the women's 3,000 meters. Ethiopian defending champion Mohamed Aman seeks to defend his 800-meter title. Another Ethiopian, Hagos Gebrehiwet, is favorite to win the men's 3,000 meters. In the sprints, Muriela Hore, the world's fastest female 60-meter sprinter, seeks to win Ivory Coast's first ever medal at the World Indoor Championships, while Nigeria's Regina George is a strong contender in the women's 400 meters. All finalists in each event will earn cash prizes ranging from $40,000 down to $6,000. In all, over $2.2 million in prize money is up for grabs at the 3-day event.
The Voice of America.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the San Antonio Spurs scored a big 111-87 victory over the visiting Miami Heat in a rematch of last season's NBA Finals. Veteran star Tim Duncan, who celebrates his 38th birthday next month, once again showed he still is one of basketball's best players. The Spurs' big man, Duncan, led San Antonio with 23 points and 11 rebounds. And Tony Parker added 17 more points for San Antonio. Chris Bosh had a game-high 24 points for Miami, the 2-time defending NBA champions. Teammate LeBron James had 19 points, but LeBron missed 12 of his 18 shots from the field. LeBron has been wearing a face mask recently to protect a broken nose, but he took off the mask early in the first half in San Antonio.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers.
Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeeds. VOAnews.com.
And when you visit VOAnews.com, make sure you check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog, in which I write about a variety of sporty topics. My latest blog post is titled "Beckenbauer Backs Libyan Football." German football great Franz Beckenbauer recently visited Libya, and he threw his support behind the country hosting the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. While in Tripoli, Beckenbauer remembered a message from the late South African leader Nelson Mandela while highlighting what the Nations Cup can do for Libya.
Nelson Mandela, he said following words, sports has the power to change the world. Football has the power to make a better world. This African Cup of Nations is a very, very famous competition. Beside the Europeans, the best players in the world having this competition. And so that means the whole world is watching the country. So it's the best promotion you ever can make for your country.
German football great Franz Beckenbauer speaking in Tripoli, Libya.
I believe that children everywhere should be free to grow to adulthood in health, peace, and dignity.
Pledge your support for children at www.gmfc.org.
Joining us once again for more knockout commentary is our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, the top cable sports television network here in the USA, ESPN, the money behind a big boxing tournament, and it features some Ghanaian fighters.
Voice of America!
How about an update for our Voice of America listeners?
Sonny, what a nightmare. It was painful to watch. The first one where I was watching Yakubu Amidu going six rounds and then coming back for one more round, he got out-hustled by Chris Rod. Then on the same night, Samuel Nikkei got knocked out in the second round. Samuel Nikkei is an undefeated fighter from Africa. I mean, a good fighter. What happened in the first round? He got caught with a body shot. In the second round, he was complaining. And then another body shot, his legs were gone, and the referee had to jump in and save him. In lightweight division, two from Africa losing. The following week, Sena Agbeko, also from Ghana, undefeated, got staggered and got knocked out in the fourth round by Raymond Gatika. We were like, what's going on here, man? This is just our warriors from Africa being bombed on live TV.
Nnamdi, what do you attribute these surprising losses? What was the cause?
Well, in the case of the two undefeated fighters in Nikkei and Sena Agbeko, both came in from Africa with this undefeated record. And all the folks in the fight game who said, well, they fought a bunch of guys from the Moto Park. You know, they came in they came in with this undefeated record. Who did they fight? They fight their brothers and all that stuff. So, and here they go on TV and they got blown away by fighters they were expected to beat. So it just shows that what we do in Africa is totally different when you come to America. When you come to America, you are in the real fight.
Nnamdi, former world light heavyweight champion Antonio Tarver making headlines not in the ring, outside the ring. He's in trouble with the law, the man nicknamed the Magic Man.
And he's a magic man!
Tell us about that.
Sonny, magic man behind bars, bro. He went on a four-day gambling binge, Sonny, in July 2012. In 4 days, he blew $200,000. What still blows my mind was that the casino kept giving him this money, and he kept writing the checks, and all the checks bounced. This is a man that made more than $10 million from his fights.
Mm.
He can't even post bail. So now they will send him back to Las Vegas, and when you mess with Las Vegas, you're definitely going to jail, man. So forget about fighting.
Namdi, I thought Tarver at one time was doing some boxing commentary on cable television.
Well, yes, he did all that for Showtime, but after the fight with Latif Kayode for the IBO cruiserweight title, he tested positive for banned substance, and then Showtime said, no, you can't come on TV and call fights if you have this cloud around you. So they fired him from that gig. And then, bang, this one with bad checks with the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas. I mean, that just, it's really, really bad. If you live large, you pay the price for living super large.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Galala! Great show, bro.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Sing it, Louis Armstrong. More African football news. Nigerian defender Leon Balogun is expected to be sidelined at least 8 weeks after breaking his left foot in Wednesday's friendly against Mexico. The 25-year-old Balogun came on as a second-half substitute in the scoreless draw at the Georgia Dome in the southern U.S. city of Atlanta. But his debut with the African champion Super Eagles was marred after he collided with an advertising board. Balogun is expected to have surgery soon in Germany, where he plays for the club Fortuna Düsseldorf. Balogun told reporters after the Mexico match that, of course, he imagined his first international game differently, and then added he's confident he'll get back on his feet in a quick time. And the Sunny Side of Sports wishes Balogun a quick recovery. African football guru David Legg has been taking a look at the recent action in the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup club competitions. And this evening, David's focus is the Confederation Cup. David, how about the results?
Yes, certainly, Sonny. This also first round, first leg, 16 matches. CARA of Congo 1, Etoile Sahel of Tunisia 0. Supersport of South Africa 2, Leopards of Kenya 0. Kigali of Rwanda 1, Shendi of Sudan 0. Gamtel of Gambia 0, Jadida of Morocco 2. Mediama of Ghana 3, Maghreb Fez of Morocco 0. Ferroviario Beira of Mozambique 0, Zesco of Zambia 0. How Mine of Zimbabwe 5, St. Michel United of Seychelles 1. Konzo of Congo 0, Bielsa of Nigeria 0. Red Lions of Liberia 0, Constantine of Algeria 1. Bamako of Mali 0, ASEC of Ivory Coast 2. Etanche Ike of DR Congo 0, Ishmaelia of Egypt 0. Ebuasa Dwarfs of Ghana 2, Petro of Angola 0. Duanes of Togo 1, Wadi Degla of Egypt 1. Don Bosco of DR Congo 2, Djoliba of Mali 1. Union Douala of Cameroon 2, Wari Wolves of Nigeria 3. and Desportivo Huila of Angola nil. CA Bezerton of Tunisia 1. And just a reminder, those second leg matches are on this coming Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And the same applies to the Champions League.
David, based on those results, it sounds like it was a great weekend for Nigerian clubs.
That's right, Sonny. And it's interesting, isn't it? Kano Pillars out of the Champions League in the preliminary round. Certainly a very early exit by Nigerian standards. And now Enyimba battling for survival in the first round. But in the CAF Confederation Cup, which is the second-tier competition, the Nigerians achieved extremely good results last weekend. Bayelsa United went to Congo Brazzaville and fought a bruising 0-0 draw with Konzo. And they surely will fancy their chances this weekend in the return match. And an even better result from Wari Wolves. They went to Union Douala of Cameroon and won 3-2. Three times the Nigerians led and twice the Cameroonians came back to equalize. But it was Ikechukwu's goal after 83 minutes, which proved decisive. And that result means, Sonny, that as long as the Wolves don't lose at home, I mean, even a draw will suffice. In fact, they could lose 1-0 or even 2-1 and still go through on the away goals rule. But I'm sure they don't want to bring the calculators and the mathematics into it. And if Wolves can win 3-2 in Douala, then you've got to fancy their chances at home. Another interesting match, Sonny, SuperSport of South Africa beating AFC Leopards of Kenya 2-0. That was a much anticipated match. Matabule on the stroke of halftime and Chinene in stoppage time at the end of the match, scoring for the Pretoria club in that one. And hats off to Hau Mine of Zimbabwe. They're a very unfashionable small club in that country, but they're banging in the goals. In the preliminary round, they scored 6. And then at the weekend in second city, Bulawayo, they hammered St. Michel United from Seychelles 5-1. So they seem assured of a place in the second round proper. And looking at the draw, Sonny, if they did get through, their likely opponents would be Bayelsa United from Nigeria.
And David, who are the leading scorers in the Confederation Cup?
Yeah, Sonny, Kuda Musharu is not a name that I think has ever been mentioned before on the Sonny side of sport. So well done to him. He plays for Hau Mine in Zimbabwe. I was just saying how goal-hungry they were. And 5 of their 11 goals so far in the CAF Confederations Cup have come from Musharu, and that makes him the leading scorer. Feno Soa from St. Michel United of Seychelles, ironically the club at the end of that 5-1 drubbing, he has scored 3 goals. And the other player who scored 3 goals is the very tall Senegalese striker from SuperSport United, Mama Niang. So it's Musharu with 5 and Feno Soa and Niang with 3, who are setting the pace in the CAF Confederation Cup leading scorers competition.
David, still with African club football, Al Ahly, the reigning champion in the CAF Champions League, involved in some violence after the recent Super Cup victory over CS Sfaxien of Tunisia. Any update for our VOA listeners on possible penalties arising from that violence?
Yes, Sonny, on a previous Voice of America show, I predicted problems for the clubs, and sure enough, that's what is looming and looming fast. The latest word, Sonny, I've got from Cairo is the authorities are now seriously considering banning spectators from all African matches. They're already banning them from the domestic games. And last weekend, when Zamalek played Cabascor from Angola, no spectators were allowed. In fact, some Zamalek supporters did try and enter the Cairo Stadium, and they were sent packing by police tear gas. And this weekend, Ahly are at home to Young Africans, and I cannot imagine any spectators being allowed in, Sonny, because after all, it was Ahly fans who attacked the police, and Zamalek coach, Mido, he is furious. He said, why is his club being punished for the actions of Ahly? So on the basis that Zamalek fans were banned, you have to assume that no Ahly fans will be allowed to watch the match. And that's a real pity for Ahly, because I think, Sonny, they can get through against Young Africans. but it's going to be tough. This young Africans team, they've been to Turkey for a training camp. They've got a Dutch coach, Hans van der Bloege, who's got a good record in Africa. And the strength of Tanzanian football has definitely grown in recent years. And I think they may not be good enough to knock out Al Ahly, but I certainly think they're good enough to be competitive in that return match. And sadly, it's a return match. It's going to be played in that funeral-like atmosphere. I've watched some of these games on TV, Sonny, and they're not in any way a spectacle. I remember Bob Bradley, the American former coach of the Egyptian national team. I mean, he was saying that it's really the worst nightmare for footballers, having to play in front of empty stands. Not very nice at all. And I think the only people who benefit are the coaches, because when they scream at the players cannot say, "We didn't hear you."
David from Egypt, let's go to Libya, the winner of this year's African Nations Championship and the host of the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. The Libyans were recently visited by German football great Franz Beckenbauer. Beckenbauer, David, is that a kind of validation of Libyan football right now?
Yes, indeed, Sonny. I think it's a tremendous boost. It's something we've touched on many times on the Sunny Side of Sport, the fact that there are still security issues in Libya post the regime of Muammar Gaddafi. It is, in fact, sufficiently worrying that CAF have forbidden the Libyan clubs this year in the CAF competitions, namely Al Ahly of Benghazi and Al Ahly of Tripoli, from playing at home. They have to play their home matches in neighboring Tunisia. So the arrival of Franz Beckenbauer, one of the greatest footballers of all time in Tripoli, for the sort of symbolic laying of the foundation stone of what will be the main stadium for the Nations Cup in 2017. It's in a Tripoli suburb, and I suppose interesting too, Sonny, that it's on... The stadium is going to be built on ground that was formerly a military base when Muammar Gaddafi ruled the country. And you can't get much bigger than Beckenbauer. He's going to be an ambassador. And I think, Sonny, we can only wish the Libyan people well, that security is restored to the country and that all goes well in 2017. What is very encouraging is CAF are not pressing any alarm buttons. I think they're very conscious of what is going on in the country. But at the same time, they're giving the Libyans every opportunity. And although they'll never admit it publicly, I think what CAF probably will do privately is whichever country is voted the 2019 Nations Cup host, I think a little word in the ear of an official perhaps to have all the facilities ready just in case. But the Libyan people have got time, and as long as security is restored, we can look forward to a fantastic Africa Cup of Nations up there in the north of Africa in 2017. And well done too, Sonny, to Franz Beckenbauer for coming into Libya. I know there's a lot of publicity around that foundation stone ceremony. And I think, you know, when you bring in somebody of the stature of Franz Beckenbauer, the media naturally follow.
David, let's turn to Europe now. Any highlights involving African players?
Yes, Sonny, and Ivorians in particular. They've had a tremendous last weekend in Europe, none more so than Yaya Toure. Now, there's a name we seem to mention every week on the Sunny Side of Sport. He's in great form. He's playing well, and also he's scoring goals. And he scored a superb goal against Sunderland in the English League Cup final at Wembley. It equalized for City, who went on to win 3-1. A curling shot from outside the box into the roof of the net. And he made it look so easy. That is the thing, Sonny, about African footballers. They make it look so annoyingly easy at times, the way they score those superb goals. Now, while Yaya Toure was doing his business in England, a couple of his compatriots were doing extremely well in France. And the leader of the pack, so to speak, was Salomon Kalou. Now, he once played for Chelsea. He now plays for Lille in the French Ligue 1. And he scored a hat-trick against bottom of the table at Ajaccio. And Ajakio's two goals came from a lesser-known Ivorian, Junior Kalo. So we had five goals in the match, and all five came from African footballers. So congratulations to them. We also, Sonny, had a goal from Jordan Ayew for Sochaux in France. Now, Jordan Ayew is a son of the great Abede Pelé. And it was a goal to celebrate because it was his first for 37 matches. So well done to Jordan Ayew, and let's hope that it's maybe 37 days at the most before his next goal, and certainly not 37 matches, because that's an awful long time. Goals, too, for African Sonny in Germany. Mame Diouf, a Senegalese striker who was once on the books of Manchester United, he scored for Hanover against Augsburg in a one-all draw. And Jean-Paul Mutting, Eric from Mainz, a Cameroonian, went one better. He scored the only goal for his club in a 1-0 victory over Bayer Leverkusen. And it's always nice to report a goal from what I still believe technically is the best league in the world, the Spanish La Liga. It's Pape Diop of Senegal, and he scored for Levante in a 2-0 win over Osasuna. If you remember, Sonny, about 3-4 weeks ago on your show, we lamented the fact that there were barely any African scorers in Europe on that specific weekend. And since then, the floodgates have opened. So they must have been listening to the Sunny Side of Sport.
David, we don't want to give the women's game short thrift on the Sunny Side of Sports. Women's Nations Cup qualifying action in Africa. How about the results?
That's right, Sonny. We got all the results, and we got the full second-round draw. But first, the results. Mali 0, Cote d'Ivoire 1. So Cote d'Ivoire qualifies 4-0 on aggregate. Tanzania 1, Zambia 1. Zambia go through 2-1 on aggregate. Morocco 0, Algeria 0. Algeria qualified 2-0. Tunisia 2, Egypt 2. Now, that might seem a poor result for the Tunisians being held at home, but they won 3-0 in Cairo in the first leg. So Tunisia advance 5-2. Ghana 3, Burkina Faso 0. An identical result to the first leg. Ghana qualify 6-0. Kenya 2, Rwanda 1. A close one this. Rwanda won the first leg 1-0. So it finished 2-2 on aggregate, and Rwanda qualified on the away goal rule. Another tight one. Zimbabwe 2, Botswana 1. Zimbabwe go through 3-1. Now, Sonny, the second round fixtures. Algeria versus Tunisia, Ethiopia versus Ghana. Now, there's a spicy tie. Ivory Coast against Equatorial Guinea, Rwanda against the star-studded Nigerians, Senegal against Cameroon, the Comore Islands against South Africa, and a neighborly derby, Zimbabwe against Zambia. The first legs of those matches will be played on May 23, 24, and 25. And 2 weeks later, the second legs, June 6, 7, and 8. And just to explain, those seven winners, they will join the host nation, Namibia, for the finals. And not only are they competing for the African Women's Championship, but they're also competing for places at the 2015 World Cup in Canada. So all to play for. So the best of luck to all our women footballers from the north, the south, the east, the west, and the center of Africa. VOA!
David, if our VOA listeners have a football-related question for you, can you give us your email address?
Yes, certainly, Sonny. It's david.legge, and legge is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France-Presse.com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.legge, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from our listeners. So if you have a question for David, soccer or football related, please send it to him and we will try to read your question on the air.
Voice of America.
And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Nazi Missouri for her technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.